We're going to actually be jumping around a lot, but if you want to do a springboard scripture that's going to be towards the beginning and towards the end, it'll be 2 Peter chapter 3. And I've entitled our message this morning, "It's the End of the World as You Know It." And I'll tell you, I've been preparing in the background for the book of Revelation for when I finish the book of John, which will be in a couple of months, maybe 2 months, somewhere around there. But I don't watch TV. I haven't watched TV in 5 years. Not because I think there's something wrong with it. I just don't watch TV. You know, I go to movies. So I don't watch TV. I used to watch the news all the time. But for 5 years, I haven't watched the news. And I don't read the paper, which is kind of strange, I know. But I read my Bible, so I pretty much know everything that's going on. But people are always coming up to me and saying, you know, "Hey, did you hear about the fires?" And I'm like, "What fires? Did you hear about the flood? What flood?" So what I've been doing here in the last few weeks is I've been going and reading the news and looking up news reports. And for a person who hasn't watched the news in 5 years or read the paper in 5 years, I was pretty excited and shocked all at the same time. Excited because I know this. Brothers and sisters, we are in the last days. Now, the sad part about this is over the centuries, there have been many, many pastors, preachers, evangelists, what have you, who have said, "Oh, we're in the last days. We're in the last days." But there were still missing components to the end times in order for everything to be just right. But I'm here to tell you that there are no missing components. Everything is falling right in line. I don't know if you've been watching what's going on over in Damascus and Syria. Listen, that we are right on time. We are right in God's timetable, and we are on the verge of the rapture of the church. Now, if you don't believe in the rapture, I really challenge you to come and be here for the study through Revelation, because I'm going to show you beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is clearly taught in Scripture that there is a rapture of the church just in the first couple of chapters in Revelation. However, this morning, I've just been feeling like God's been saying, we're in the last days, we're in the last days, we're in the last days, and I have to get this out so that I can continue on in John. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. It's kind of like a little preview of the book of Revelation. But at the same time, I just, you know, I have to get this out. But I like this one quote that I ran across. It says, "What the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls a butterfly." You see, for the world, it's doom and gloom. Now, I need to clarify this. When the news talks about the end of the world, they're talking about the Mayans and what the Mayans predict. And I can tell you this with certain amount of certainty, and that is that the Lord will be true and every other man or woman a liar. That's what the Bible says. God's word is true. And here's what I believe. I do not believe that God is going to allow the Mayans who worship the sun, who worship the different god, to be accurate in the end of the world. However, we are going to, and we are going to continue to see catastrophes. And the Bible tells us about that. But the end of the world is not 2000, what are we, 12? Can you tell? I don't watch the news. I don't even know what year it is. I know my Bible, though. Okay, so one track mind. Anyways, it's not 2012. Only because God will not let a false god be right. No way, no how. It's not going to happen. But there are a lot of other things that we can draw from. But what I want to do, what I wanted to do is, holding your finger there in 2 Peter, turn over to Matthew chapter 16. And I want to read you a little account and something we need to keep in mind. Matthew 16, verse 1 through 3. "Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, testing him, asked, would he show them a sign from heaven? And he answered and said to them, when it is evening, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time." Now, what Jesus is saying here is something that we need to take to heart. See, oftentimes when I run into, and this is the sad part, when I run into Christians, and you start talking about end times and prophecies, A lot of them don't want to hear it. It's like, ooh, I don't want to hear that. It's spooky. It's scary. And right away I have to say, well, then I really want to know what your walk's like. You know, because for me, the thought of Jesus Christ coming back is not scary. It's exciting. What is scary is my heart towards the lost. I fear for them on their behalf. But for me, I'm like, woohoo, come. Maranatha. Come, Jesus, quickly. That's what that Maranatha means. It's not scary. And here's why. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And with a sound mind, today we are going to look at some facts about what's going on. And I'm just going to scratch the surface. I don't want to give too much away. I want you to come back for the book of Revelation. But there are some things that are going on. Now, I also want you to know this. The devil hates it when you read the book of Revelation. He hates it. A lot of people go, ooh, I can't read the book. It's so confusing. It's so wild. It's scary. But do you realize that the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that has a built-in blessing for the reader? It says, blessed is he who reads the words in this book and keeps them. So the devil says, well, first of all, I don't want you to have a blessing. You know what the built-in blessing is in reading the book of Revelation? The built-in blessing comes from the response of someone who reads the book of Revelation. Listen, every person who ever goes into a deep study of the book of Revelation come away thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to be horrible. And I don't want anyone that I love or know to have to go through that. So what it does is it puts an urgency on our heart to go out and share the gospel with those who do not know Jesus Christ. So important. That's the blessing. You see, you get the proper perspective to hold on to this world loosely. This one guy said this. He's a fictional writer. He said this. Don't wake me for the end of the world unless it has very good special effects. That is mocking. He's mocking. He's like, hey, you know what? When the end of the world comes, don't wake me up unless there's something cool going on. He has no idea what's in store according to the book of Revelation. But here's what it says. When I see people who talk like that, even what's sad is even amongst Christendom, there are Christians who are like, you know what? We've been hearing end of the world, end of the world. I'm sick of hearing the end of the world. I am too, when it's not biblical. But when it's biblical, then you better hang on to it. Look what 2 Peter, and these are the verses we're going to springboard off of. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Now listen, when people scoff at the fact that the Bible says that we're living in the last days, the reason why people scoff is because they are still hanging on to their sin. See, the reality, if they truly believed that Jesus Christ was going to come soon, guess what they would do? If you knew that Jesus would be here tomorrow, what would you do today? You'd clean up your life, wouldn't you? And that's why God and Jesus said, no one knows the hour. Why? If we knew the hour, then we'd party hardy until the day before Jesus came, and then we'd clean up our act and say, oh, look at there. Jesus, go ahead, come back. I'm clean now. No, but he doesn't tell us. So that every day we go, well, he could come back today. But see, some Christians don't want to hear that he could come back today because they're still enjoying the party. And they don't want to get caught in the party when Jesus comes. So they scoff. They make fun of. And I just sit there and I feel sorry for them and I pray for them because I know what's going on. I know the reason why they don't want to hear it. And that's why Revelation said, blessed is the man. Because when you read Revelation, you go away saying, I got to get right with you, Lord, because I don't want to be left behind when the rapture comes. And it is coming. So they scoff, and it says here, scoffing and following their own desires. It says, they will say, Where is the coming he promised? Even since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Listen to this, verse 5. But they deliberately forget. In other words, they choose not to remember. They choose not to think about it. It's a choice. I don't want to think about it. It's spooky. They deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Speaking of the flood. By the same word, the present heaven and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. That's us. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, when the scoffers, believers or not, come scoffing, well, where is this, you know, coming that's been promised since the ages? I say, you know where it is? Waiting for you to get your life right, because God loves you too much to come now with you still in your sin. What a gracious God we serve. A lot of people ask me this. They go, hey, Pastor Randy, can you tell me what's the last thing that has to happen in order for the rapture to come? I say, yeah, one thing. The Bible says, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. You say, what is that? The fullness of the Gentiles. See, as we go into Revelation, I can't give you too much because it's really complex, but it's easy to understand if I have more time, but the 70 weeks of Daniel, and we're waiting for the last week, and there's kind of like this punctuation called the time of grace. It's like free time. Okay, grace is free. It's free time where there's a stop in the time. And it's like, okay, saying we're waiting for that last 70 week of Daniel to take place. It stopped at the crucifixion. Grace came down and now he's waiting for the fullness of the Gentiles. And then in the last 7 weeks, God will go back to dealing with the Jewish people and bringing a remnant to be saved. So we are living in the time of the Gentiles. Now, the fullness of the Gentiles, this is what this means. God is being patient, waiting for all of us non-Jews to be saved. Now, here's the point. If you're concerned about when the rapture is going to come, maybe you're holding us up. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your sister, your brother, your nephew, your aunt, your uncle. Maybe they're the last one and God's saying, dude, all you got to do is share. Get them saved. Tell them about me and they will come and then we'll all depart. You could be holding us up. Thanks a lot. Hey, then again, I could be holding us up. Listen, when God puts it on your heart to share with someone, open your mouth. Tell them about the love of Christ. Tell them. You don't have to tell them, hey, we're living in the last days. Because honestly, you know, there's so much of that. It's like, I'm telling you as Christians, I don't go out and try to evangelize to people with, it's the last days. My first desire is to share with them, Jesus loves you. That's number one. Then later on, you know, we talk a while and they want to know about end times, then I'll share with them. In fact, it's funny because just yesterday, my sister called me. She's not a believer. I've shared with her many, many times. And the Lord was telling me, Randy, tell her it's the last days. I was like, God, I don't want to tell her that. He said, tell her it's the last days. And so the conversation was starting to wind up and I was like, God, I don't even know how to stick it in the conversation. Guess what happened? She brought it up. I was like, okay, God, I guess you're going to make... So I told her, I said, listen, Viola, if mom, my mom, who's a believer, and I and the rest of the family over here close to me, if one day we are gone and there's no explanation, will you do me a favor and pick up the Bible? Because it's going to happen soon. And she started asking all kinds of questions about what was I talking about. And now she wants to know. So I sent her information in the email this morning, the stuff that I'm sharing with you today. See, I didn't want to open my mouth. I've already shared with her many times, but God said, just tell her. Today when we're done, God may tell you to do it with someone you know. That could be the person we're waiting to get saved. But we are living in the last days. And if you are a believer, the rapture, the removal of the church is coming. And if you question that, first of all, I know this. I've never, ever argued someone into the kingdom of God. So if you don't agree with the rapture, that's okay. Come for the teaching on Revelation and then tell me that the scripture doesn't teach it. It would be impossible for you because it's clear and concise. So God is waiting patiently, and that's why he waits. That's why it's like over the centuries. We're living in the last days. These were people who were on fire for God and didn't want people to be lost. Even if God should not come for another 100 years, which I highly doubt, but if we should still believe that he's coming back today. However, when we look around the world, and you're going to see in a moment, I got some stuff to show you, that we are truly, truly, truly living in the last days. So he says he wants everyone to come to repentance, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything... Oh, I don't want to read that part yet. So there are mockers. I ran across a really interesting quote by a secular band. Some of you may know them if you listen to the radio. The Fall Out Boys. I don't think they're the Fallout. They're just Fallout Boys. Anyways, this is what they said. They say a captain goes down with the ship. So when the world end, will God go down with it? Wow. That's blasphemous. You know what? Their career went down with their ship. You don't even hear about them anymore. But you don't talk about God like that. They got a big head or something. Something's wrong with them. So how can we know? I keep telling you so far, I've said it maybe 10, 12 times, we're living in the last days. How can we know? I hope you're thinking that. Okay, Pastor Randy, how do you know it's the last days? Matthew 24, starting verse 3. We have some clues. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Very unusual statement, by the way, from the disciples. The guys who over and over again didn't get it that Jesus was saying, hey, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to the cross. And they were like, huh? Here they're asking a great question. Hey, what's going to be the sign of your coming? Obviously, you're leaving. You've been telling us you go to the Father, you go to the Father. So, okay, well, if this is not the time, what is the sign of the time? Verse 4. Now, remember, he said that we would be hypocritical if we didn't discern the signs of the time. So let's discern. Verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. Now, if you were here a few months ago, I showed you the guy in Houston who says he's Jesus, and all of his congregation get tattoos, 666, on them. I showed you that video. My mom ran into some of those people. She goes, mijo, I ran into these people, and they got 666. I go, I know all about him. Oh, it was scary, mijo. I was like, yes, I'm sure it was. I don't like them. My mom, she's so, I love her. Anyways, so it says, and we know there's been others who said they are Christ. And will deceive many, verse 6. And you will hear, listen to this, of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. In other words, don't freak out. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. So what do we have going on? We got people claiming to be Jesus. We got wars and rumors of wars. Now you say, if you know anything about history, hey, Pastor Randy, rumors of wars and wars, that's been always going on, right? Well, there's some other factors that we're going to look at here again. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Here we go. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to the tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And we got people killing people at a movie theater, in schools. Verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up, deceiving many, because lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. And listen, love in the world today is becoming very, very cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. Notice this. The gospel will go preach to all the nations, to all the Gentiles, and then everyone will have a chance to hear. Jesus goes on from there and begins to talk about the abomination of desolation and what's going to take place. But notice in verse 7, let's back up here a moment. There will be famines. Do you realize, I don't know if you watch the news, I've been, there is a drought in America. Most of Southern America has been declared a federal disaster area because of drought. In fact, 1,000 counties covering 26 states, the largest disaster area ever made by the USDA. Wow. Now, this includes, of course, Colorado and Wyoming that were totally demolished, having those tremendous wildfires. Incredible. Now, all of this has an effect. Well, Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. Listen to this. Here's an interesting thought. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius. Now, that's the ESV. If you have King James or New King James, it says for a penny. Not a good translation, because that sounds pretty good, right? Basically, a quart of wheat or three quarts of barley make a loaf of bread. So if you thought a loaf of bread for a penny, that sounds like a deal. Bad translation. The word denarius, a denarius was one day's wage. If you have the NIV, that's actually the best translation. A quart of wheat for a day's wage. Three quarts of barley for a day's wage. Can you imagine paying what you made in one day to buy one loaf of bread? That's where we're heading. Besides the drought and the fires, the wealthy American country that all the third world countries look at us and say, oh, those wealthy Americans, well, we're not so wealthy when we have $15 trillion of debt. That's what $15 trillion looks like. That's our debt. Now you say, okay, well, I can't comprehend what $15 trillion of debt looks like. Well, in the population of America, there are 300 million people. If every person, that would include teenagers and children, we are all accountable for $50,000 of debt, each of us. Now, maybe some of you say, I'm debt-free. Well, no, it's accounted to you because we're all in the same boat that's sinking. The national debt continues to increase at an average of $3.9 billion a day. Every day. I'd love to have one of those billions of dollars. No, Wednesday, July 11th, 2012, San Bernardino filed bankruptcy, making it the third city in America to file bankruptcy this year, with 100 other cities considering bankruptcy right now. That's not people. That's a city that says, like, we can't pay our bills. And when you have a city that does that, then you have a state that does that. Listen, as a nation, we're a mess. Listen, here, think about this. If we took and liquidated Walmart, Facebook, Google, mobile, and we put all those on Craigslist, and then took Craigslist and liquidated that, we still would not have enough money to cover the debt. The damage is speeding up. It's getting faster. It's getting faster. It's increasing at an alarming rate. Now, if your treasures are here on earth, you got something to worry about. If you're storing up treasures here on earth, you got a lot to worry about. But if you're storing your treasures in heaven, you have no worries. Some of you are going to be like, well, you know what? I'm not going to tithe today because, man, I got to save up for that debt. Listen, God provides for his children. His children will never go without. That's why before it gets that bad where you pay a day's wage for a loaf of bread, we'll be gone. But we're going to see some of it. We're already seeing some of it. One person said this, worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. You got something to do, but you ain't getting nowhere. Oftentimes, isn't that where we are? We worry. I like this. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 8, there's a three-phase plan. We do three things, God does one. Listen to what it says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what is our three-phase? Thank God for anything, pray about everything, and worry about nothing. And then he will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The problem with us is we see stuff like this and we start to get stinking thinking, right? We need a checkup from the neck up. We need to get our thought process looked over. We need to get our mind off of the earthly and onto the heavenly. After that statement in Philippians about praying and being thankful and that he will guard our mind, he says this in verse 8, finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on that. Don't worry. That's why I liked when I wasn't watching TV, because all I did was praise God. I was like, praise you, Lord. You know, I don't know what's going on. I don't need to know. I know this. Jesus is going to come. I'm going to go to heaven. I can't wait. That's it. That's all I need to know. But for your sake, I got to teach Revelation, so I'm watching the news. But now, picture this, okay? I haven't watched the news in 5 years. Some of what I'm going to show you right now, for you, probably, well, I knew that. But if you put it all together, it paints a picture. So I'd like to show you a video right now of some stuff that I found on the internet. Wow, huh? Notice the reason why I had the sun clips. It's because every time there was a solar flare or an anomaly, shortly after that, there were all these destructive things happening. And of course, we know that God said that he wouldn't destroy the earth again by water, that he would do it by fire. And what is the sun? Basically a giant fireball. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of people I love. This is not the tribulation. This is nothing. The Bible says that the tribulation is going to be so bad that men's hearts will fail them. This is birthing pains. Like a woman in labor. This isn't the labor. God wants our attention. He wants our love. He wants us to be effectively sharing Christ. Now, it's scary. It is. Put fear in my heart, mainly for those that I love, like my sister, my sisters, my neighbors, people that I know are not walking with the Lord. Right now, while you're sitting there, I'm sure someone was on your heart, or maybe even this was so disturbing you didn't want to come to church and hear about this today. It's supposed to build in us an urgency. We're supposed to be excited about going, but also urgent about sharing with the lost. Listen, if your neighbor's house was on fire, would you just say, "Oh, I don't want to look at the fire. That's so devastating. I hope they make it out all right." Or would you go and break into the house and pull them out, dragging, if need be, by the ankle, getting them out just to save their life? How much do you love them? We are on a dying planet preparing for mass evacuation. There's so much more. I scratched the surface. God loves us. This is all part of His plan. Just as, you know, if you saw the Passion of the Christ, it's a hard thing to see. But if He had not endured that, we would not be here saved, would we? That's a hard thing to see. But if you didn't see it, maybe there wouldn't be an urgency in you today to say, "I need to make sure that my heart is right with the Lord. I need to make sure that those that I love are right with the Lord." Because what if Jesus would come back this week? What if He decided to take the church out this week? Are you ready? Here's the part that's scary. When the rapture comes, when God removes the church, there are going to be some people, perhaps even some of us, I don't know, who may be here coming to church on Sunday and say, "Where is everybody? I thought I was saved." The Bible says to make your calling and election sure. I'm going to show you one more video. It's very short. But I want you to ask yourself, are you ready? Chris?
"In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth."
That gave you chills. It gave me chills. It may happen like that. And there are going to be people who think they're okay with God who are going to be left behind. And listen, all the stuff that's going on now is nothing. When Jesus went to the cross, it was a cup. He said, "This is my cup." He said to the disciples, "You think you can drink from my cup?" And they all were martyred. But when we get to the tribulation, there are seven seals, then seven trumpets, then seven bowls. It's going to be so horrifying. And all of that is God saying one last time, "You don't want hell. You don't want hell. I love you. Just turn to me." And people are still going to turn away from God in bitterness. So in closing, are you ready? Is there an urgency in your heart? Do you want to know for sure? Have you made sure? Have you made your calling and election sure? Listen, I love you guys, and it would break my heart for anyone to be left behind. To think that I didn't give you the full counsel of God, to have that responsibility on my shoulders. I could not have that, so I'm asking you today, are you ready, church? Let's pray.